Yo, 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 what is great in the state? It is Ugliest Brother in Radio, and welcome to episode 2 of the Smash the Mat podcast. I definitely appreciate everybody that tuned in to the first one. You know, we start small, we're going to make it big, though, okay? And just letting you know, I'm pretty sure if you're listening to it, I don't have to tell you this, but you can find this podcast on foxy99.com. You know, just click on air, go to Goodfellas, you find my name, G-Money, and then I'll make sure that I have all my episodes right there. And you can find it on iTunes. All right, just search Smash the Mat on iTunes. I haven't checked it out yet, but I just know that it's there. I know that it's there, okay? So, last night was Hell in a Cell. And I had said on Twitter, and I said on a bunch of people's Facebook pages, including my own, that I felt like last night's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view was the best Hell in a Cell pay-per-view in history. All right, now, speaking of history, they've only been doing the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view since 2009, and I did myself a favor. I did some research. I looked up each and every card just to check out the matches. I know I watched them, just about all of them. I'm more than certain I watched all of them. Now, I didn't say that it was the best Hell in a Cell matches. I said the pay-per-view was the best Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Okay, the very first Hell in a Cell match was in 97, Bad Blood, Shawn Michaels, and The Undertaker. You know, we'll probably do a show on who had the best Hell in a Cell matches, period. And I actually, before I do that, I want to bring somebody else in to talk about that, because I don't want to just be my opinion on that, you know, because if we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. And, you know, most of my listeners, you know, the ones that listen, I'm pretty sure sooner or later I will get you guys in here for a show. It's going to happen. I know this, as long as we get that scheduling right. So anyway, last night I felt was the best Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. And I think the second best, according to the cards that I've seen, I remember last year's might be the second best, because they had the Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair, the first female Hell in a Cell match, and they had Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins with Chris Jericho in Owens' corner. Yeah, that was around that time. Like, I looked at the other cards. Some were pretty good, but look. The two Hell in a Cell matches in this pay-per-view together combined makes it better than all the other ones to me. But we're going to talk about everything. Now, look, I made my predictions on Friday, well, on the first podcast, all right, and I had my original predictions were Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. I chose RKO. I chose the New Day. I chose Bobby Roode. I chose Charlotte. I chose Jinder. I chose Shane McMahon. And I chose AJ Styles. But when I was watching the pre-show and I found out that they made it a triple threat match, I changed my pick to Baron Corbin, because I felt like there was no way that AJ Styles was going to lose to Corbin, especially not clean. But if Dillinger is in there, then Corbin could definitely win. And I immediately knew that Corbin was going to win. I just felt like it. I definitely felt that. So I went 6-for-8, if you count that. If you allow me to count that, and that's up to you, I went 6-for-8 on my predictions. All right? Now, the Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable match versus the Hype Bros, I like that match. It was a good startup match, you know. I'm glad it wasn't on the pay-per-view, because, like, there was really no build-up for it to be on the show, but it was a good match in itself. I like the way Shelton Benjamin moves, man. He's one of my favorites from back in the day, and I feel like he hasn't lost a step. If anything, he's still just as good. He just has more wrestling IQ, and now he still uses the pay dirt finisher, which is cool, even though I like the T-Bone Exploder a little bit better. But I mean, they're both solid, and I like their finisher, the power bomb splash combo. Yeah, that's cool, you know. And since the New Day lost, and the Usos are the champs, now I can see Gable and Benjamin taking that step up to be the number one contenders, and they'll probably have a number one contender match this Tuesday to determine that. Even though the New Day, I don't know, the New Day probably won't get a rematch, because this was supposed to be the end of the feud, so that'll probably be it for them. But speaking of that match was awesome. Man, like, I knew they was going to deliver. I knew they was going to deliver. My match of the nights, I figured, before the pay-per-view, I figured either Roode and Ziggler or the New Days and Usos would steal the show. That's what I figured. Now, that match was so good. That New Day Uso first Hell in a Cell match was so good. I had already said, and I was retweeting people on Twitter that said, you know what, might as well just pack it in. That nothing's gonna top that. That match was awesome. It was brutal. It was Attitude Era brutal. I'm talking about from the jump, they brought out the weapons from the jump, and they just went at it. They went at it like they truly hated each other. I loved that match. I loved everything about that match. You know, of course I wanted the New Day to win, but actually it doesn't even bother me that the Usos won, man. And the Usos have improved so much, man. And I'm just, man. And I can't remember who said it. I'm going to start taking notes because I just try to come in here and just be raw with it and just, you know, not read nothing written down, just do what I do. But it's my boy Rooster. My boy Rooster said, Xavier Woods was the MVP of that match, and I agree, man. Xavier Woods, if you're familiar with wrestling terms, he played the perfect babyface in that match. I mean, yo, I always used to feel like Xavier Woods was the weak link, but the last couple of months have shown me otherwise. And Xavier Woods, he brought it, man. He went to work. He took that damage like a champ. Man, he took that damage like a champ. Big E was spectacular. Jimmy and Jay, man, they were just brutal with it. They were brutal with it. Like, they had the attitudes. It just worked. Everything about it worked, man. Like, all four of those guys deserve lobster dinners. Vince, hook them up with the lobster dinners. Whatever they eat, whatever, because that was great. So after that match, I really didn't feel like there was anything that could even come close to that match. And even though there were some other pretty good matches on that card, it just wasn't, nothing was going to compare. Okay, so what was after that? Was it RKO versus Rusev? And it was okay. It was a decent SmackDown type match. The best part about that match was the final segment. And, you know, once Orton hit the Cobra, you know, how he gets down on the Cobra, start pounding the mat. When Rusev grabbed his hands and flipped him over, I was like, oh, crap, it's about to get real. But Randy slipped out of that so fast and hit him with the RKO, and that made that match that much better. Because leading up to it, it was like a typical Randy Orton match. You know, he ain't got to do but so much to make his matches pretty good, so It was a decent match with a better than average finish. I like that finish, so that raised that match a little bit more than I would have liked. If we went by the stars, you know, 5-star matches, all that, I would have gave that a 2. But that finish would have made it 2.5, 3 to me. Okay, so we had that match. Then we had I don't remember the exact order, but I know we had the U.S. title match. That U.S. title match was good. It was good. AJ Styles delivers as usual with no effort. I mean, the guy's just, he's phenomenal, you know? So, and I'm going to write these down. But, like, I'm on Twitter heavy. Like, I live tweeted the whole show. And somebody had tweeted, isn't it great that Corbin and Dillinger, they get to learn under the AJ Styles wrestling tree? And it's true, because AJ Styles, man, AJ Styles is a marvel. I wish that AJ Styles would have been in the WWE years ago, because I would have loved to see some AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan matches, some AJ Styles versus Shawn Michaels matches, some AJ Styles versus CM Punk matches. Man, that would have been some good stuff, some really good stuff. So yeah, that match delivered. I like that match. Corbin won. He got the victory. He got the victory, and I have no problem with it because I feel like he deserves it, you know, especially after that fiasco with the Money in the Bank briefcase. And I love the fans, man. Where's your briefcase? Dig it, man. Like, that's, I dig it. So that was good. Let me see. Those two. And then it was the Women's Championship match, which was, is it me? Or was this whole pay-per-view, like, heel-driven? Like, mostly heels won. Mostly. But I kind of expected it to play out that way. But Natalya pretty much controlled that match. It was a good match. It was a solid match. I won't say it was a good match, but it was a solid match. It was pretty much what I expected. It was, even though it was nowhere near as good as Charlotte and Natalya's match back in NXT, when Natalya came down, you know, for the challenge. That was an awesome match. This one was pretty good, you know. But I felt like I did say Charlotte was going to win, and she technically won by disqualification, so that still counts. I guess they're just not going to take the belt off Natalya just yet, but I know she's not going to keep it long. I severely doubt that. Even though she definitely deserves the belt, she definitely deserves it because she's probably like the anchor and the foundation of that division. So, yeah. And then we had, who else was wrestling? Then we had the championship match. Was it championship match after that? Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke. Let me say, that match was way better than the first one. Way better. I mean, like, that first match was terrible. Like, I'm starting to, like, I was a huge Shinsuke fan in NXT. And now it's like, I don't know. Because it's like my man Tariq said on Facebook, he said his moveset is limited. And I don't really feel that it's limited. I just feel like they can't do but so many moves. Because it's like everybody that comes to WWE gets watered down to a sense. You know, like, case in point, Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode's finisher in TNA looked something like the AA. It was something like the AA. It kind of looked like the Burning Hammer, where you get them in that fireman's carry position, you're standing up, and then you throw them over. But anyway, I feel like Shinsuke has moves. He just doesn't use them. He used more moves in NXT than he does on the main roster. So, but yeah, that match was good. It was good, especially after. It was especially good because Shinsuke, I tell you what, they did say something about him being able to fight MMA, and I definitely believe it. But like the way, I forgot what move it was, but Jinder tried to do something to him, and Shinsuke flipped it into a standing armbar. And that was a crazy transition. Shinsuke, he's got some ways about him, man, but it's just something just doesn't translate on the main roster the way it did in NXT. I don't know. But he's got hella submissions. I'm seeing that now. But Jinder Mahal shined in this match. Like, he acted very heelish. He carried the match as I felt like he would, you know. And even though I hate the Colossus, man, God, I hate that move. I wish they would give him something that just looks better, you know, because the Colossus is a trash move, man. It looks like a medium move, like something, like one of your signature moves or something. But he pulled out the win, and he pulled it out clean, too. And I was definitely surprised at that, man. I thought that it would be something else. Now, I had read a rumor on probably like, honestly, right after I dropped the first episode of the podcast, and I think it was Saturday where I had read where somebody said on Twitter that Hideo Itami was supposed to debut on the main roster and cost him the match. And I was like, okay. Even though I felt like Hideo Itami would go to 205 Live because he's like 187, you know, and I can't see two Japanese guys on SmackDown, like, just going at it. I don't know. But I'm actually glad it didn't happen, you know. And I really think they're going to keep the belt on Jinder until maybe Royal Rumble, maybe. I'm guessing Royal Rumble. The longest would be WrestleMania. Unless they're trying. But there's something else that I thought about. Maybe they're going to keep the belt on Jinder Mahal so long that it eclipses CM Punk's mark of 434 days. Think about that. WWE is that petty. Vince is that petty. They will do stuff like that. I think that's the reason they had the New Day hold the tag team championships when they was on Raw so long. They held them so long that they eclipsed Demolition's previous reign. It could happen. I would not be surprised. It just came to me like that too when they. Because every time I hear a CM Punk chant, I'm like, what WWE will and can do something to eclipse that, because, you know, especially if somebody doesn't have anything to do with the company anymore and they happen to hold a record, they're going to do something about it. They did it when the whole fiasco with Chris Benoit happened. Like, they decided, I won't say they decided. No, I'm sorry. Not Chris Benoit, even though it happened to Chris Benoit. It was Brock Lesnar. When Brock Lesnar was the youngest WWE champion, and then he had left. He had left after a while, and WWE, they made RKO. They made Randy Orton become the youngest champ, but he did it by beating Chris Benoit. That's right, because Triple H couldn't do it. So Randy Orton is the youngest WWE champion in history. You know, because, you know, everybody remembers how Brock was only with WWE his first run for like a year and a half. He showed up in like 2002. He won the belt in 6 months. And then like the following year, it may be 2 years, but the following year, he had that horrible, terrible match with Goldberg at WrestleMania, and then he was gone. So, you know, in case that was his last time, they didn't want him to keep that record. But, you know, that's the type of stuff WWE does. But, yeah, but getting back to my point, because I definitely got lost, that was a good match. I like that match because that first match between Jinder and Shinsuke was a dud. It was terrible. It stank. It was trash. But this match was way better. I like this one. This was a good match, you know. And then the another match that I said that would steal the show was Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler, and it did not. It didn't. It was okay. It was an okay match. My thing about that match was I thought it would be a better match, but for me, it's a good starting point for what I think is going to be a great feud. They had a pretty good match. Well, they had an average match. It was okay. You know, I kind of expected just a little bit more. But, I mean, it was what it was. You know, of course I expected Bobby Roode to win, of course. And I'm not surprised at the end, like how Ziggler attacked him. Not surprised by that at all. But I really think that this match is just the beginning of what's going to be a pretty good feud. I think that match is going to be a good feud. Actually, I have one more thought. I have one more thought on that match. That match, I think, would have been better if Ziggler didn't use the sleeper hold so many times. Like, I think that killed it in the beginning. Like, that first time, cool. I know that used to be your finisher and all that, but I don't know. After, like, the second or third time he tried, I was like, all right, man. Ziggler, you got more than enough maneuvers to get away from that, you know. And then he had the botched famouser, you know. But it still looked decent. But I mean, it still landed, but it didn't look as good as it could have. But still, like I said, it's going to be a great feud. Like that match right there is just the genesis. It's going to be a really, really good feud. Now, on to this Shane McMahon-Kevin Owens match. Oh, my gosh. I have so many things to say about it. First off, halfway through the match, I had tweeted. I'm going to bring up my tweets. Halfway through the match, I tweeted because I do most of my sports talk on Twitter anyway. I had tweeted that they're going to have to do something crazy to top that first match. Like, that's the only way I saw it. There was just no way. I want to read some of my tweets right now. I did say that Shane versus KO would be more of a brawl than a wrestling match, okay? Okay, yeah, there it is. I said Shane KO got to pull off some truly crazy-ish to top that New Day Uso match. It started off, you know, they was fighting back and forth. My man Miguel said, he said a topic I should bring up is, does Shane McMahon have the worst strikes in Hell in a Cell history? And, you know, Shane McMahon punching looks so hilarious. It's like we all know that wrestling is scripted, but come on, man. Like, some of those, like, he'd be throwing those punches so fast, they don't even look like they even have anything behind them at the time. You know, so it's like, I don't know, man. It's not until he starts actually slowing down his punches that they seem to, like, do some damage, you know. But Shane was also training in Muay Thai, kickboxing, and all this stuff all these years he's been gone. So maybe he knows something that we don't. I don't know. But let's see. That match was, it was a good match. Like, halfway through the match, I was like, okay, this is all right, but it's not better than that New Day match. And even with that cannonball was crazy. Like, those guys, man, look, they put their bodies through it, man, and it was brutal. You know, the one thing that I am surprised at is that we didn't see a power bomb on the apron. I know we saw one on the top of the cage, but I was really expecting to see a power bomb on the apron because that's Owens' bread and butter, you know. But, like, I like the psychology behind the match, man. Like, these guys didn't really like each other. And I'm in a few wrestling groups. And, like, I'm in the Greatest of Throwback Wrestling and the Nation of African American Wrestling and Wrestleheads. And I'm in a lot of wrestling groups. I'm sorry if I missed one. I'm sorry. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to write them down. And there was a guy that said that he didn't believe the feud. And I was like, well, how could you not believe the feud? Because Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens has had a grudge with Shane McMahon since he showed up to SmackDown. Really, it was the Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. He's had a grudge since he came to SmackDown because of the fact that he wasn't drafted. Like, he just showed up because it was the champ deal. So... And Chris Jericho just happened to be the champ. Or no, he was drafted. He was drafted as the champ, the U.S. champion. So he had issues with that, and he never really let anything sit well between Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon. And then when Shane became the guest referee in their championship match, that's when things really started, like, going up as far as Owens' distaste for Shane McMahon. So I don't know where all that came from. I don't understand how you cannot feel the feud because, look, it felt personal. It felt personal, and Owens made it personal. And that's what he does. You know, he makes things personal. But I enjoyed the match. I'll tell you what, it picked up after that cannonball is when it started to get, like, brutal in the sense of brutal, like that first match, because that first match was wild. And then Shane pulled out the good old trash can for that coast to coast. Man, look, Shane McMahon, I don't know how old he is, but that dude moves around like he's in his early 30s. Like, the fact that he is athletic, man, say what you will about Shane. The guy may not be a great wrestler, but he's athletic as hell. Like, that's a long way to jump. That's a long way to jump from one side of the ring to the other while hitting the trash can. That is a long way to jump. That man is a daredevil. When they went to the top of the cage, man, this is when that match, when they went to the top of the cage, this is when I'll start saying that the match got better. And the reason I say that is because the tension, the whole time they are up there, the only thing I'm thinking is, oh, my gosh, this cage is about to break. Everybody's thinking the whole time the cage is going to break. The cage is going to break. So you have the suplex. You had the Russian leg sweep. You had the power bomb. And you're just like, oh, every time somebody hit that cage, you're like, oh, you're thinking it's going to happen. So, like, they won with that suspense. That suspense got you. And then, you know, on the way down, you know, I know people was upset that nobody fell through the cage. But I'm thinking to myself, man, you guys are tripping. Why are y'all booing? Because, like, man, I don't know. To this day, I don't know how Mankind survived that fall through the cage. To this day, I don't know how he did it. But I do know this. He's in pain every day of his life. He's in pain. He's hurting. So, you know. As much as I love, you know, to see the violence and the bumps and stuff, like, I was glad that nobody fell through the cage. But off the cage is a whole different story, you know, because you know what you're doing when you're falling off the cage. But when you fall through the cage, now you're not expecting that, you know. So, you know, we had RIP to the Spanish announce table. We knew that was going. Definitely knew that was going. So, yeah, that first Owens falling through that table was good. And Shane being Shane, not leaving well enough alone. He could have pinned him right there and ended the match. But that McMahon in him, he just wanted to do more. He wanted to do more, and the end of that match is why the second match was better than the first. Because it, as great as that New Day Usos match was, the suspense wasn't there like it was for this match right here. And I know some people might rate action over suspense, but just that whole situation was crazy. So Shane McMahon moves Kevin Owens to the next table, and he climbs up top. And, you know, even I was recording it on my phone so I could put it on Instagram. And it's like I saw it, but I didn't see that there was somebody at the bottom. And I just thought it was a camera guy. So he jumps off, and I thought that Owens just moved. But no, it was mother-loving Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn with the heel turn. Because, I mean, I don't know what you want to call it. I don't know. It's got to be a heel turn. But, man, wow. I was not expecting that. I figured Owens would move out. I either figured Owens is going to move out the way or Shane is just going to kill the both of them. Harry Carey. But, man, I did not see Sami Zayn showing up, man. And, wow. Man. And then he's on Owens' side. And I'm like, yo. Like, where is this coming from? Because everybody knows Sami Zayn's and Kevin Owens' history. Everybody knows their history. So why would you help him out? I don't know, but, look, I'm in there, like, cursing his name at home. Like, yo, like, what is going on? Sami, really? Sami, really? So, I don't know. It was a good show, man. It was a really good show. Like, I was hyped. I'm still hyped. Like, I don't even want to watch Raw. I want to watch SmackDown. And speaking of that, I said it on Twitter. I'll say it again. SmackDown is heads and tails better than Raw. It just is. Like, Raw has all the quote-unquote big names. But SmackDown outperforms them each time. Like, and if you don't believe me, seriously take a look. Seriously, look at the WWE Championship picture. How many main eventers does SmackDown really have? Think about it. Outside of AJ Styles. All you have is AJ Styles and Randy Orton, right? Some of you may feel that Shinsuke is, I like Shinsuke. I don't feel he's main event material yet. I feel like he needs to be like US material. But like, even Jinder Mahal isn't main event material. He's on the way to being. But think about it. Like, SmackDown doesn't have big names. They just don't. And they keep putting out a better product than Raw. And Raw's got everybody. Raw's got Brock Lesnar. It's got Roman Reigns. It's got Braun Strowman. It's got Seth Rollins. It's got the whole Shield. You still got John Cena whenever he decides to show up. Like, seriously. Like, Raw has too much firepower to be getting kicked around like this. That's why I love SmackDown, man. SmackDown gives the little guy a chance. I know, I believe it when they say the land of opportunity. I believe it because these guys is doing work, man. But, yeah, that right there, I didn't even really want to make this one that long. But, you know, it is what it is. So this second episode of Smash the Mat, the Hell in a Cell review with G-Money from Foxy99. I have another episode up probably Thursday or Friday. It'll probably be Thursday because I have got to work. You know what I'm saying? Got to work Friday night. So Thursday should be the next one. And we're just going to keep it rolling, man. I appreciate you tuning in. And, you know, if you see the link, retweet it, all that good stuff. We're going to keep it rolling, man. And I look forward to having some of you guys on this podcast as well so we can go ahead and talk wrestling, man. So shout out to Madison J. Shout out to the homie _ TD1. Shout out to Rooster Stevens. Shout out to my man CJ. Shout out to Tariq. Shout out to Miguel. Shout out to Brian. Shout out to Aaron. Shout out to all my followers on Twitter, man. Look, you see me live tweeting. Look, I'm sorry if you didn't get a shout out, okay? I shouldn't even have started the shout outs. But look, I appreciate you all for listening. Shout out Jermaine, EQ, you already know. But like I said, if you're on Twitter, follow me, G_MONIY. I do all my wrestling talk on there, all my sports talk in general. And same thing on Instagram, G_MONIY. Make sure you stay tuned in to Foxy 99, man. We doing work, man. Appreciate you. We'll catch you later on this week. It's Smash the Mat with G Money.